Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sir Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday episode. I've got to admit, Sam, I haven't really got the energy for this today. I'm on a bit of a crash after we did the Brown John thing last night. We're not going to go on and on about the Brown John thing because only a small percentage of the listeners got involved and paid money to watch us tit about for about an hour. But we do appreciate it massively. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll do another one.
We're going to We enjoyed it, which is the main thing.
Yeah, of course, that's what it's all about. We're going to put some clips online soon so people can see what it was, sort of thing, and get a flavour for it and maybe join in next time. It was nice to interact with some of the cunters, and a lot of them,
really
as you
enjoyed
pointed
that.
Out, a lot of them have beards.
Amazing. And someone actually ran a poll on Twitter saying, do you have a beard, under our hashtag, Top Flight Time Machine Live. And I
100%
took part in the poll. I put no, because I wouldn't lie.
Yeah, but you're not a fucking listener or a viewer.
I know, but you have to vote
results.
In order to see the results. You have to
vote, right, okay, yeah. Right,
so, yeah, okay. I skewed them a little bit, but the curiosity got the better of me. And I would tell you this, I would never... Have you ever lied on a Twitter poll? I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I have. If it's a one where I want to see the results, but I've got no interest in contributing to whatever the poll's about, I'll put a false result in, a false vote. Yeah.
Well, I would ask, are you ashamed
that
of
bad?
That? But clearly you're not. You sound proud.
No, I'm not. No.
I told the truth and said I do not have a beard. And over 70% of respondents had beards.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
But that's actually less than our own experience last night, because I would say 90% of the people we got on air were bearded.
Yeah, probably. Wow. Well, I mean, this beard thing is curious to me, right? Because obviously it's not going to last forever. These people have got beards now. Are they going to have beards their whole lives? Because it felt like it was a bit of a trend for a while, didn't it?
Yeah, now it's not hipstery anymore.
Yeah.
But... That's what happens with fashions. First, you get the sort of people at the forefront of it, and then afterwards you get it kind of carries on. It goes a bit high street for a while. So at the moment, the beard was couture, but it was catwalk. But now it's high street. Catwalk. Yeah,
right. It's high street now. Because the thing is, you've got a lot of fellas who have kind of in the last few years they've taken the beard. Let's say, and they've got into relationships with women who are attracted to them. Partially because of the beard, let's say. Now, at some point when the beard is no longer acceptable, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Just
they're going to shave the beard off.
Bootcut jeans.
A new fashion's going to come along. The clean shaven look will become the new fashion, and they'll all start shaving their beards off, and these women are going to start looking at these bum-faced men who they've betrothed themselves to and go, what the fuck is this about? Who
this
is this fucker?
This bloke's got no jawline whatsoever.
Who am I looking at? He's got a face like an arse, and
never,
I'm stuck
never
with it.
Trust a man, so, ladies, who has to disguise his own face in order for you to find him attractive.
Four words: Peter Sutcliffe, Harold Shipman.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Growing up, and until just 10 years ago or so, beards for me were that it was what murderers had.
It was the mark of a paedophile, wasn't it?
Paedophiles, murderers. It's not offensive, but I personally wouldn't have associated it as closely with paedophiles as I would with murderers. Right. Just a general murderer. What sort of murderer are you? Do you murder particular types of people? No, I'm just a general murderer. General murdering. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm an opportunist. I'm an opportunist murderer. Yeah. When I see the opportunity to murder, I'll take it.
I'm a one-off murderer. I murdered someone who I know.
Well, that's the most common type.
You know, it's an open and closed career there then, isn't it? Just one solitary murder. But I did see someone. I mean, I don't like where this is going, to be honest, but I did see someone the other day. I drove to Seaham, which is just down the coast to the south of me, to the pie shop, which I've mentioned before, I think. Angus's Deli for a steak pie and a mince pie, which I've got in the freezer. Just remembered I've got that. I'll have that next week. And I saw a fella who looked exactly like how you would think Harold Shipman would look had he lived. He had the same beard, the same face, the same glasses, but white hair and a white beard. And it was an aged Shipman. And I thought,
Andy, perhaps. I know that you sometimes show an interest in famous murderers. What was Shipman's agenda? Like, what was his problem? Why was he killing people?
I'm not sure completely. I think it was a control thing.
Right.
He was a massive control freak, I think. He'd been addicted to morphine himself when he was younger.
Right.
So there was something going on there connecting the morphine to how he offed all
of
his victims.
That's what he used for the killings.
Maybe he just thought all people were a pain in the arse. I don't know.
Maybe he thought he was doing them a favour.
He got them to change their wills in his favour. I think that's how he got found out, wasn't it?
That makes more sense. I mean, not that I'm saying it was right, but I'm just wondering whether or not there was a practical idea behind his murdering or not.
Yeah, but a lot of people do that. A lot of murderers do that for what they think is going to be the insurance payout or something like that, or the will. But then that's quite easily detectable, isn't it? It's usually really desperate people that do that that don't realise they're going to get caught. But if he'd done that on more than one occasion, then surely that's going to come out and he's going to get found out. Maybe that's what he wanted. I don't know. Dead now. Can't ask him, can we?
What happened to him? Did he top himself?
Yeah, he topped himself in prison. And he never said anything about the things he'd done.
Oh, so we don't really know then.
We don't know. Took it to the grave.
There
we are. But he's, well, I see he took it to the grave. Perhaps he didn't. Perhaps he faked his death and he's now roaming around the seafront at Seaham.
Just real quick, because I don't want to get too deep into it, but now you've sort of, you know, we've started this. What, just briefly, how would you summarise Rose West's motivations?
Oh, Jesus Christ, I have got no idea. I haven't got a clue. I mean, some people say that she was the mastermind of it all.
Yeah, that's what I've
Fred
heard,
was just the Fred was just a...
He was a simpleton.
He was the monkey as opposed to the organ grinder.
Yeah, he was a simpleton who was under her spell.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not read any of the books about them. I've just seen some documentaries. There is a book called Happy Like Murderers, I think it's called.
Yeah,
which is meant to be the definitive text.
It
in
is.
That case.
It is, yeah. By what's his name? So, I've forgotten his name. I met him a few times.
Is it Jeffrey Masters?
He's dead now. No.
The other one?
Because David my good Boy? Wife was his publicist. And I went to one of his book launches once. And the reason I remember it is he is a really good bloke, right? Gordon Byrne, that was his name.
That's him, yeah. I knew he had a similar name to a celebrity. Didn't do the Crichton Factor, wrote about murders.
No,
and
not
stuff.
That one. He wrote a lot of good books. Unfortunately, he passed away, but he was a lovely bloke. But the main thing I remember about his book launch, I can't remember which book it was. It wasn't that one. It was a different one. I was there and I was at the bar and I saw him and I went, Gordon. And I knew him a bit because, you know, we worked with my wife. And I went, Gordon, let me buy you a drink. It's your book launch. Let me buy you a drink. And I went, thanks very much. I'll have a beer. Right. But he was stood with a bloke who turned out to be his agent. Right. Old guy. Old sort of posh literary type. Right. And you know what it's like when you've ordered someone a drink, but you've kind of interrupted your conversation. You sort of sometimes feel like you've got to offer this other cunt a drink, right?
Yeah.
You could have just
given them 40 quid and fucked off.
Mate, what I'm about to say is going to blow your mind, right?
Whoa. But
I promise you this is true. I promise you this is true, right?
Come on.
I've looked at the bloke. There's a moment of awkward silence. I thought, fuck it, I better. And I went, hello, mate. Would you like a drink, right? And usually you expect that person to go, no, don't be silly, I'm fine. And then you insist it, buy him a drink anyway, right? This bloke did not fucking hesitate. Without barely looking at me, because he was a pompous literary type, without barely looking at me, he went, Treble whiskey, please.
Holy fucking cunt.
And I went, any particular type? And he went, any single malt. A treble single malt. Woo. And plus, we were in a fancy place. We were in Chelsea Arts Club. I mean, it like, I cut, my mind was fucking literally exploded to bits.
Oh, man. I jokingly said you should have given them 40 quid, but you'd have been up on the deal if you'd given them 40 quid.
Yeah, I would have been up on the deal. And the thing is, the other thing I remember about it was the next day I was going on the greatest away day of my whole life. Was we were talking about away days on an episode the other day, weren't we? About how basically away days are just the best, right?
Yeah. Was it that Hartlepool one?
It wasn't, although that's fucking, that's a close second, my weekend in Hartlepool. No, this one was Palermo. West Ham had accidentally got into the Europa League and we had to play Palermo. We got into it by losing the cup final to Liverpool, and it was one of those ones that Liverpool qualified anyway. So we went to fucking Palermo, which is the capital of Sicily, all right? And it was an early round, so it was like early September. It was basically the summer. Fucking 30 degrees in Sicily, one of the world's most beautiful fucking places. We went there for a couple of nights. We lost 3-0, but the day after the fucking game, we just went to the beach and just fucking, we were just on the beach all day. Like, it was amazing. Having seafood, drinking beers with all your mates. It was fucking sensational. I mean, I don't know whether the locals enjoyed it or not. A bunch of fucking West Ham fans turning up at this lovely picturesque Italian beach. But anyway, running full pelt into the sea. Actually, my mate Dan had his willy bitten by a dog on that beach.
Oh,
yeah. We had a video of it as well. It was great. I'd brought a video camera to take with me to document the whole thing. And he was so excited. We were all so excited. Imagine being with all your mates from football in Sicily in early September to watch a football match, right? And you're on the beach. It just fucking doesn't get much better than that, mate.
Why was his willy available to a dog?
Well, what happened was so I was so excited I'd bought this little handy cam because it was before camera phones. This was 2006, right? Because I thought, I'm getting a fucking handy cam from Curry's, you cunts. This is getting fucking filmed.
Put the hand up the little strap on the side. You can walk around. Film everything.
We hadn't known that we were going. When we went there, we didn't know we were going to the beach, right? Because Palermo's not a beach town, but there was a place where you could get a cab out for half an hour to this like lovely beach. So I didn't have beach wear. So when we got there, I went into a tourist shop and bought a full beach outfit, right? And I came, it was like ridiculous. Obviously, I was pissed. So I just bought the most fucking ridiculous outfit that this tourist shop had to offer. So I'm walking along in my little fucking Italian swimming shorts and my loud T-shirt and my straw fucking hat with my camera. And my mate was so exuberant and excitable and happy that he saw a dog came over in a playful manner. And my mate was just like, I'm going to play with this dog. Because I'm just feeling so great that I just feel like playing with a dog. So he started running around and giggling with the dog. And it was quite nice, but I did think he was going over the top because I clocked this dog and, you know, call me a xenophobe, but I was like, you have to be a little bit careful around these foreign dogs, right?
Because
they've
got an angle.
They might just behave differently to the dogs you're used to back in England, right? They tend to be a bit wilder in places like Sicily. And he was really winding this dog up, you know, throwing sticks around and letting the dog jump up at him and try and lick his face. And he ran further and further in the distance. And I was with like three other mates and we were walking and they were like rolling around. It was going mental. And one of my mates said, this is going to end in tears, you know. This is going to end in tears. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, from about 100 yards away at this point, we just heard him go, ah, as the dog jumped up and he fell to the ground clutching his crutch. And the dog sort of sniffed him, you know, like they do. Like, what's going on? Are you all right? And then in the end, the dog just fucked off. So I thought, that dog knows he's done something. So we get up close, we go, what happened? And he goes, it bit me. It bit me on the willy. Right. Now, it hadn't drawn blood, but he did say that there was imprints of dog teeth in his knob. I mean, we didn't ask to look, but we thought it was
with your handy cam.
It was. Well, what happened was we thought it was slightly far fetched. when I got back from Sicily, I made a film, like, really sketchy, fucking edited on my computer, from all the footage I'd filmed across these 2 days in Sicily. And the centrepiece of the film was a slow-mo, ultra, ultra slow-mo zoomed in, like, look at the dog who became forevermore named as Mug Dog and is still legendary amongst my mates at West Ham. Mug Dog biting Dan on the willy in slow motion. And I zoomed in sufficiently to sort of conclude, yeah, that's the outline of his willy inside his shorts. And I don't think he did it on purpose, but
it's just excitable.
This is what can happen if you excite any dog that you don't know that well. Do you know what I mean? It can happen.
Yeah, well, you say you don't know if he did it on purpose. I think he probably did do it on purpose. I think the dog did exactly what it was doing.
You fucking English scum hooligan.
Exactly. It was a beach dog. It knew the lie of the land. It knew where the willy was. It's done this before. It'll do it again.
It clocked us as soon as we fucking rocked up.
And thought, here we go.
He went,
chance for some willy biting here.
He thought to himself, easy pickings.
Yeah.
Every year you'll get some drunken, idiot Englishmen coming down here, right, with a bit of a swagger to them, thinking that it's just fucking fun and games. And before they know what's fucking hit them, I bit their cock.
My teeth are locked around their cock end. Another notch on my bedpost.
Arrivederci, Inglesey. Come back next year.
Tell your fucking pals.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jalapeño.
Funny though, but I've been in the Chelsea Art Clubs just the night before, buying a treble whiskey for a noted literary agent at a huge price. And then the next day, Ryanair over to Palermo, watching my mate get his cock bit by a dog.
Just fucking one adventure to the next, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it? The ups and downs of life.
It is. Well, your life, yeah. I've got a question going back to the whole book launch thing. Book launches are on the whole jovial occasions, aren't they? It's a chance for people to meet up with their pals and the people they've worked with on a book. How jovial can a book launch about two serial killers really be?
Yeah,
I know this wasn't the one you went to. You didn't go to a murder one, but
I don't know. Maybe I'll ask my wife. I think she probably did the publicity for the Happy Like Murderers. So she has done some sad books over the years. I'm going to ask her more about this. What is it like?
What's
a
the
sad
vibe like?
Book launch?
Yeah, because it's, you know,
can you still get pissed and go mental?
Yeah, as you generally like, hope to do.
In my last book launch in 2015, it was in the last, like, it was about a month before I gave up drinking. I got really, like, fully loaded for it to get through it. And I was all over the place. I mean, sometimes mates show me the book. You sign a load of books, and in every single book, I've just written, fuck off, cunt. Fuck you, fuck off, cunt. But, like, in the spirit of, I know at the time, I would have thought this was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Like, the funniest thing anyone had ever thought of, to just write abuse in everyone's fucking books.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a happy time. But I think the one I book launch I went to was for his book Sex and Violence and Death and Silence, which was about the Brit Art movement. You know, Damien Hirst and all that.
All that lot, yeah.
He was it. Gordon Byrne was a big sort of documenter of that, as well as murderers. That's what he liked.
Mm.
Brit art and murdering.
And murderers. Nothing else in between.
Because he did one on the Yorkshire Ripper as well. You're interested in the Yorkshire Ripper, aren't you?
Yeah,
Somebody's I Husband, Somebody's one. Son, it's called. Have you read that one?
Yeah, I have it. I've got another one. Wicked Beyond Belief, I think, is the one I've got.
Yeah.
But have you ever read any footage of Peter Sutcliffe talking? He had an incredibly high voice.
Did he?
Talk a little bit like this. Ah, Peter Sutcliffe.
I did do a bit of killing in the Yorkshire area. Yeah.
Yeah. That tape that fella sent from Sunderland, that weren't me.
Yeah, because he did talk like this. That. He went like this, didn't he? Went, you'll never find me. You'll never catch me. I'm going to do it again, you cunts, didn't he?
He talked like how he thought the murderer might talk, didn't he?
And yeah, he did his murderer well. Voice.
Yeah. Mm. I'm Jack. I see your boys are no closer to catching me, George. And they went, oh, this sounds like a murderer. This must be him.
Whoa, it's definitely him.
No,
we got some vocal recognition experts in.
It weren't me. Because I was going around talking like this all the time.
Yeah.
So,
in many ways, it was the best disguise, was having a silly voice like this. Like, you'd never suspect. Imagine if it came out. And this is definitely, there's not even a hint that this could be true. So I don't want any, like, legal teams onto me. But just imagine if it came out that Joe Pasquale was a serial killer.
Yeah.
Nobody would have any idea, would they?
No, not at all.
Or what about, who was that geezer, Duncan something, he used to go, chase me.
Duncan Norvell, yeah.
Yeah.
He might have killed. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I would say he's more likely than Joe Pasquale.
I think he's dead now, so the dead can't sue. I mean, his estate could have a go, but I don't know what sort of state his estate is in. Duncan Norvell, he might not be dead. He had a massive stroke. That's true.
I liked him. I thought he was really funny.
No, he's not dead. He had a massive stroke in 2012. I feel bad now for accusing him of being a killer. He's also got three kids, believe it or not. So there you go.
Well, listen, or if he's listening or if any of his estate are listening, then all the best. God bless. I wish you a speedy recovery.
We are part of the showbiz family, aren't we, really? And it is a wide and varied recovery. Family.
If the massive stroke was in 2012 and you still haven't recovered, then any recovery now is going to be considered a pretty slow one.
No, he's been performing since 2015, apparently.
Oh, good. So good. Well, I'm pleased to hear it. I might even go and see him next time he plays Barnes.
Yeah. Has he got a website? I know we're not allowed to go anywhere or do anything at the minute, but there's a new venue opening in Sunderland later in the year called the Fire Station.
Yeah.
Because it's basically in an old fire station. Mm. And I'd hope that we'd possibly do a Top Flight Time Machine live show at some point.
Oh, that'd be great.
And
I'd feel a bit bad on Pop Rex, but I feel that, you know...
We've outgrown Pop Rex, haven't we? I mean, I'd like to think we could maybe persuade Duncan Norvell to come and do a show there as well.
To support us?
Separate show.
Oh, okay.
Separate show. We'll promote it. Oh, he's done some messages on Celeb VM, which is another one of those cameo offshoots.
Yeah, messaging ones, yeah.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Come on, Duncan, let's have it.
Hello, Big Pete, it's Duncan here, Chasley. Wishing you a happy birthday.
Oh, I don't think he put much into that.
Well, he's had a stroke, for fuck's sake.
But he just went like this, chase me. Like, really, like, gutted that he had to say it.
He didn't even do it in a really flamboyant...
Hello, everybody, it's Duncan here, Duncan Norvell. You've been chasing me for years, but now you've caught me. If you've got a loved one or a
is
friend
he smiling?
You'd like me to send a message to for their special occasion, then please get in touch and I'll do it for you. And I'll chase
them.
Oh, God.
No,
Just to say once again, chase me. Duncan Norvell,
Duncan, you don't do the chasing. They're supposed to chase you.
Yeah.
He's got that ass about
to chase you. My mate, well, one of the funniest blokes I've ever known, but I've completely fallen out of touch with him. William Gallagher is one of my best mates growing up, and he was so fucking funny. This won't be even funny now that I say it. but it just reminds me of him because he used to do that, chase me.
Right. But what he'd do is he'd do it in quite serious, like, confrontational situations, and it would chase be really me. Good. It would be, no, but it'd be good at diffusing it. So you might be up against quite a hard nut, or right. You'd all be thinking you were going to get a kicking from some harder lads or something, and he'd just suddenly give it the old, chase me.
And did he get a kicking?
No, it'd really diffuse things, because often people would laugh or just become confused.
They say that's how a lot of comedians become comedians, isn't it? To, like, make the bullies go away when they're at school, make them laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, you can... The most effective way of doing that is that you can sometimes confuse a bully. Like, I always reckon that every school had that one kid who was so weird that the bullies were too spooked by him to go near him. And that one kid was usually the sort who would cuss his own mum, right? So when you start secondary school, this is my experience. I think it's probably a lot of people's experiences. Until I started secondary school, I had never heard mum cussing. I'd heard of it, but I didn't really believe it was something that civilised people would do, you know, in a developed civilisation. I thought it was like the worst crime, worse than necrophilia.
And how wrong you were.
Right. And then I turn up, and within my first week, kids my own age, and I was like, who are these children? They didn't go to my primary school. What primary school did they go to? Where have they learnt this kind of conduct? Right, they were on the fucking coach, because we used to get school coach, right? And they're just like going, they're giving it, fuck your mum. Your mum's dead was a really popular one, like really witless stuff as well. None of this stuff that came from America, you know, like your American mum cussing is all like, you know, your mum is so fat, all that stuff. This was just like... I mean, that's the most basic insult you can get. Your mum is dead.
Your mum's dead.
That's it. Right. And that, and the thing is, like, I'd think, if someone says that to me, I will rip their fucking throat out. Right.
Yeah.
My mother is not dead. Right. How dare they say that? Right. I was like, I am ready to just fucking kick off straight away in my first week.
You do not bring family into it.
Exactly. My old mum, after everything she's been through and everything she has done, she is a saint. She has put the life of others before her own life. And now you're going around spreading rumours that she's brand bred. I won't have it.
But yeah.
So yeah, people would always cuss mums, and I was like, oh my god, this is fucking madness. What kind of a school am I going to? Everyone's fucking running around doing it, right? And then obviously you get used to it quite quick, and before you know it, you're doing it yourself.
You're in there, balls deep.
Well, you know, can't beat them, join them. You've been corrupted, like Michael Corleone in The Godfather, except it's like not organised crime, it's mum cussing. Right, which
is
like
a crime. I don't remember us doing a great deal of that actual cussing about the, let's say, the capabilities of our mothers. We just used to call each other by each other's mothers' names.
That's so brilliant. Like, that's much more sophisticated.
You go around, so like my mum's called Anne, so I would get called fucking Anne, fucking Anne. All this, or I sat next to a fucking lad whose mother was called Lillian. So he was constantly called Lillian. And it's a little bit like that little camp shorthand thing that Rod Stewart and Elton John have got.
Yeah,
where they
Sharon
come up with,
and all of that.
Sharon
yeah.
and all that. They come up with girls' names for each other. It's a
but
bit
this
that,
is that is much more sophisticated. That actually is hilarious and something that I'd do now. Whereas meanwhile, down south, they're literally just going, your mum's dead. It's like the most witless fucking thing. But I did find it upsetting. Anyway, so what you'd get was, you'd get mum cussers, right?
Yeah.
The ones who were fucking brutal and would go around doing it, right? Then you'd get braver kids who, like, intermediates, right? Brave kids who would be like, if you cuss my... I'm not going to start anything, but if you cuss my mum, I'm going to cuss your mum back, right?
Yeah.
That would be like me. I'm not going to start it, but if someone comes... If a bully comes to me, Sam, your mum's dead. I'm going to go, no, mate, your mum's dead.
Yeah.
Right? Deal with that
checkmate.
If you can. Checkmate, mate. And then you'd get people who are just like, I don't want any part of this. And they'd get their mum cussed and they'd just cry, right? Or run away, right? Wicked. But then there was one nutter in the school, right? Who, if he saw a bully before the mum cussing even started, that nutter, and it would always be a lone wolf, right? Not someone who you'd seen commit acts of violence or anything. Quiet, lad. He'd cuss his own mum unprompted.
What?
He'd go.
What?
He'd go. The kids would come over and start going. Like they'd start some early, what I call bullying foreplay. When you're not going straight into the bully, but you go over and you just go like, "Oh, right, mate, what are you doing? Eh? What are you doing? Yeah, nice day, are ya?" And you think, right, this is bullying foreplay. I know they're going to build up something.
Yeah.
And this kid they're would go like this.
Assessing the situation, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly. And this kid would go, he'd go, a bit sad, actually. And they'd go, oh, yeah, nice that. And they'd sniff blood and they'd think, great, we're going to get
Tell
him here.
More.
And he'd go, my mum's a whore. And all the bullies, the simple-minded bullies, their brains would just fucking malfunction. They go, what? Yeah, my mum's a fucking prostitute. I caught her sucking some stranger off outside in the bushes last night. Right? And they go, no, your mum's not a whore. Yeah, she is, mate.
You've got nowhere to go.
your mum's dead. Yeah, well, I wish she was, because then it'd be less humiliating for me, wouldn't it? Because then she wouldn't be sucking cock all over the place.
Horn,
and then they'd just go, oh, fucking hell, we've got a date. And they'd just fuck off. And that one
Brilliant.
Kid, that is the fucking master kid. He's the true king of the school.
Yeah.
Because he's the kid that even, like, the hardest kid. Right? Remember I told you about, like, Robocop at my school, a kid who thought he was Robocop and maintained it for like the whole 5 years. He was a bit like that.
Yeah.
You couldn't bully him because he'd just talk to you like he was Robocop or just start saying weird shit about his own mum. And then, that was it.
They're operating completely outside all conventional rules.
Exactly. Like giant haystacks. Really like giant haystacks where they just think, I've opted out. Yeah. I know what the rules are of this school, of this playground, but I operate completely outside of them, mate, by my own fucking rules that you can't hope to comprehend. And you're like, all right, fair enough. I'm going to leave you to it. I'm going to give you your space.
Yeah, exactly. Right, we need to end this because I need to go somewhere. I've just been told I need to go somewhere. Via a text message. That's all I'm going to say.
Go somewhere.
So predictions. Predictions, Sam, very quickly. Aston Villa versus Spurs.
2-0 Aston Villa.
2-0 Aston Villa. I'm going to go 1-1. West Ham versus Arsenal. I'll go first on this one. It's going to be 2-0 West Ham.
I'll say 1-0 West Ham. Interesting.
Sunderland versus Lincoln.
2-0 Sunderland.
I will replicate that. Also say 2-0 Sunderland. Leicester versus Manchester United in the FA Cup. This is 90 minutes. I will say it will be 2-1 to Manchester United.
I'm going to say 3-2 Leicester.
Exciting. Millwall versus Middlesbrough.
I'll say 1-1.
1-0. Okay. I will say 2-1 to Middlesbrough. Right, that's it. Thanks very much. Hope you've enjoyed the week of output that we've done. We'll be back with plenty more after the weekend.
The week output?
The week's output.
Yeah, sorry.
Never let your output be weak.
You're stronger than you even realise.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.